coming up on 3 and Out.
15, here with the end, foot race 5, touchdown Denver!
What a Sunday it was. The road to the Super Bowl on the AFC side now runs through Denver.
The high altitude, you know, people have to deal with that. It's going to be cold. It's huge to have home field advantage.
But a decision at quarterback looms after Peyton Manning's return.
I'm going to always do what I think is best for the football team. I'm going to handle the football team, you know, the best way I think I possibly can.
It's going to be a wild ride. Hold on to your hats.
It's snug. It ain't going nowhere. I might sleep in it tonight.
3 and Out starts right now. Thank you for joining us for this week's 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. A quarterback decision looms for the Broncos, but as the number one seed, they'll have 2 weeks to think about it. So let's get things started with First Down. It's time for First Down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, we all heard the crowd on Sunday erupt when Peyton Manning ran out onto the field. He leads the Broncos to a comeback victory, and now a decision looms at the quarterback position.
A decision looms, but at least you're deciding between two quarterbacks who have led the team to success. Peyton Manning 7-2 as a starter, Brock Osweiler 5-2 as a starter, and of course, he did get pulled in the third quarter, but as Gary Kubiak said, it wasn't so much for performance, it was to give the team a spark. And, you know, you can look at the giveaways on Sunday, really only one of the five you can put entirely on Brock Osweiler, and that was not seeing the corner on the blitz on the strip sack fumble. But Peyton Manning coming in did give the Broncos a spark. The audibles that he called at the line of scrimmage were perfect. It was mostly a running attack while Manning was in there, but it worked, and the Broncos scored 20 points while Manning was out there. That's getting the job done.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Coach Kubiak joked around and said that there's no manual to how to handle this situation, and he's not really concerned about a cloud hanging over the team. After the game, though, he did say that he plans on sitting down with both quarterbacks.
Like, I got to see how I feel tomorrow, and I was I'm glad we won the division, glad we won this game today. That would have been pretty sickening, and it's been a different year, and I was glad to, you know, be able to contribute in some way.
I'm sure Coach Kubiak will, you know, look at things over the next couple of days, but, you know, my belief is whether I'm the starter, whether I'm the backup, I'm going to show up to work the same exact way, I'm going to prepare the same exact way, and I'll always be ready to go.
Time for a second down, and now we're joined by Matt Boyer. And Matt, through all the ups and downs on the offensive side of the ball, the one thing that's been really consistent about the Broncos has been that defense. And for the first time in team history, the defense finishes number one in the NFL.
Well, they've been the best defense all season long in the NFL. And just a couple of numbers for you. 52 sacks on the year, 283 yards per game, only 4.4 yards per play. Best across the board. But what Coach Kubiak said that I thought really hit home was the fact that they've done it with so many different guys. The defensive side of the ball has been, you could argue, the most beat up side between special teams and the offense and the defense. Shiloh Kao coming in and making arguably the game's biggest play. He was out of football 6 weeks ago. So I think Coach Kubiak and the team takes a lot of pride that it just wasn't Vaughn Miller, who did lead the team in sacks with 11. It wasn't just DeMarcus Ware or Chris Harris or Aqib Talib. Everybody was great across the board this season.
Yeah, it was definitely an impressive season. The Broncos not only finished first in total defense, but also sacks, pass defense, and they were just 35 rushing yards away from leading the league in rushing defense.
We don't blink on D, man. We know when we on the field, we on there to get the ball back, get a stop or get the ball back. It don't matter where we start, what just happened. So we did a good job holding up.
We knew we had some work to get done. Like I said before, we grown men and we take this as seriously. You know, it's a job for us and we want to be the best and remember as one of the best. So we knew we had to come out and perform.
But we have a pretty good team. It isn't about individuals or this group. We just got a solid team. And when you got a solid team, it's easy to go out there and play and not really just look at the score.
It's time for third down, and now we're joined by Ben Swanson. And nice of you to bring out the black sweater this time.
Well, you know, it's just the time of year, I guess.
Yes, it is that black sweater time of year. Ben, it's that time of year. You got the cold. You're powering through that. And like we heard in second down, the Broncos defense a little bit banged up. They can really use this 1 week off that they get after clinching a first round bye.
Well, sure. I mean, you had Darian Stewart who got banged up in the first quarter. He was defending on a pass to Antonio Gates. You know, defended it successfully, broke it up, but you notice that he winced after it. You can tell he was injured after it. They took him out of the game, and they probably just figured that, you know, they didn't need to risk him any further with the playoffs coming up. So he's going to need the time to recover from his hamstring further. Chris Harris apparently played through an injured shoulder. We didn't know that before the game, but he said that he was battling through that. Finished the game off, had the game-sealing pass breakup. So he did that fine, and he came out of the game okay. He said he'd be good to go for the playoffs. He has that extra week, so he should be fine with that. And then he had DeMarcus Ware, who had a knee injury apparently and was taken out of the game after 27 snaps. So they all three of them had MRIs on Monday. We'll see how those kind of turn out. But right now the Broncos are going to have a little bit of rest, going to take a couple days off, come back towards the weekend on Thursday.
Yeah, the Broncos got to take a couple days off. I know that you can use a couple days off, get the throat properly healed up there. And on Monday, head coach Gary Kubiak talked about his philosophy on this bye week.
I don't know. I don't believe in working a few days and everybody running out of here for a long weekend. You know, I'd rather take our break right now, evaluate where we're at as a team physically, and put a plan in place. I want everybody back here. Football's back on next weekend, even though we're not playing, but I want our focus on football next weekend, you know, knowing what's going on around the league and those type of things, you know. So that's the way we'll go about it.
It's time for fourth down, and we got a lot of questions on Twitter this week, so let's punt things over to Scott Ward in our social media department. But first, a quick word from American Financing.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes and can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
Welcome back to the program. Now time for the Scott Ward segment, hosted by Scott Ward. We'll start with your questions. First one is from John Humbert. Rumor has it he's a friend of Phil's. We'll start an investigation. He wants to know more specifics about the Plumbus Schofield change. Is it Peyton's guy? Mace, what do you think?
Well, it really didn't have much to do with Peyton Manning going in there. It was more of what Michael Schofield did or what he was struggling to do out there. You've seen over the last few weeks, he's struggled when he's in one-on-one pass protection. Khalil Mack beat him. Melvin Ingram beat him back on December 6th, and Ingram was having his way with Michael Schofield again on Sunday. Didn't have the sack, but did get to Brock Osweiler on a play that ended in an interception, and Schofield had to hold Ingram at one point to prevent another sack later on. So really, it was more about Schofield struggling. The fact that it happened when Peyton Manning went in there, just a coincidence, but it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. Schofield did some good things in run blocking, but certainly in pass protection, has struggled in recent weeks, has been a liability. So you wonder what the Broncos are going to do when they come out in the field for the divisional playoff.
Interesting thoughts, Mace. We'll move on to the next question. It's from Brandon Hall. He wants to know, what's the plan this coming offseason with all the big-name free agents? Brandon Marshall, Derek Wolfe, Murray, what do you think?
Scott, it's the playoffs. I don't have time for the name game, but I do have time for Brandon's question. This past summer, after the Broncos signed Demaryius Thomas, their big free agent acquisition this past summer, John Elway had said Von Miller is going to be a priority this offseason for the Broncos and that there will be a plan in place for him and other players. And some of those other players that have stepped up and made themselves known to John Elway are Malik Jackson, Derek Wolfe. Both of those guys have had career years this season and have definitely set themselves apart for what could be a huge financial offseason for them. Both were draft products with the Broncos. That's a point of pride within this organization and front office. Brandon Marshall, another guy, a restricted free agent who has also set himself apart. However, Brandon's a restricted free agent, which means a compensatory pick could be in line for the Broncos if they were outbid by another team. So that might be a little bit of a gray area. Think about David Bruton, CJ Anderson, Danny Trevathan, all of these guys have set themselves apart. But I think once we hit this offseason, hopefully not for a couple more weeks, I think that Von Miller is going to be the name that you hear the most.
Steve, great answer. We'll wrap things up with our last question. It's from Tanner Lee. He's wondering, why don't we see more of Virgil Green in the passing game? Every time he's in there, he seems to contribute. Swanee, what do you think?
Thank you, Scott, and thanks, Tanner, for the question. I mean, that's a good question, but I think it comes down to simply that the Broncos have a lot of receiving targets. I mean, you have your top two guys in Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, and then you have some wide receivers subbing in with Benny Fowler and Jordan Norwood. And then with the use of three wide receiver sets, those formations aren't going to allow for a lot of two tight end sets like we used to see. So Owen Daniels as the primary tight end is going to take a lot of those snaps. And Vernon Davis also has subbed in a little bit, and more of that a few weeks earlier. But when Virgil does get in, he does make a lot of things happen after the catch, and he's also a very usable tight end weapon in his own right.
Great answers. Thanks for the questions. It's playoff time. It's an exciting time. Phil, back to you.
Thank you very much, Scott. That's going to do it for us. Special thanks to Andrew Mason, Matt Boyer, Ben Swanson, and Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.